Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Yo, what is going on? And welcome to another episode of the Urban Pitch Podcast, part of the Believe Network. I am Ramsey Abushala, editor of UrbanPitch.com. We are in a new space. The Football Boutique headquarters here, downtown Los Angeles. We have a couple special guests with us. But first, the co-executive decorators of Vibes are here. Julio Monteroso, Bridget Flores. It's been a minute. Where have you guys been? Like, I feel like...
We're here, and the past is the past. Moving forward, we're going to show up, show out.
Yeah.
I was away from you guys, so it was beautiful.
Yeah, but now we're here in the flesh. It's great to see y'all.
And in a new space.
Yeah, and in a new space.
And this is the first time we did this. I'm not even going to lie.
Yeah. Right. First time we've ever had this conversation. Right. Not the second take.
We did not forget to record.
So We're good. But I'm very glad that we're in this new space because we are here, Football Boutique, new headquarters with Mr. Football Boutique himself, Tony Magana. And alongside him, we have a fashion designer extraordinaire, Christian Ferrer. First off, Tony, congrats on the new space, man. This place is amazing.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys coming through. It's a dream come true. Yeah.
I mean, we've been with you from the beginning. It feels like, you know, we went through a name change, different location changes. You know, back when we had the base, you were there doing pop-up events. I remember, trying to get that trailer into the space at, you know, felt like 1 a.m. But now, I mean, you could put 3 trailers in here.
Right. Incredible. Thank you guys for having me back. Yeah, it's been a while since we did the last one. And yeah, a name change. We'll probably get into that, but
yeah.
I appreciate you guys having me again, and excited to talk about the new spot. So thank you guys.
Yeah, and we're gonna have. I mean, being in this space in a new spot, I feel like opens up. We're gonna have a very special episode where we're talking about fashion. We've had different pro players on. We've talked about music. We've talked about a lot of different topics on the show, and fashion has always been part of that. But we haven't had an episode solely directed, dedicated to fashion, and
we had to go big, so we went to go get a legend. We had to go get a legend.
Yeah.
We tried for months.
It's been in the works.
We ran into them different events.
AC Milan event.
We go to the surgeon events. He's always there. Christian Ferretti, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Thank you guys for having me. Really appreciate that. I've been talking to Julio for a little bit, about coming here, and. Yeah, finally, I'm happy that we were able to do it. My background is in fashion, I'm passionate also about football, so I'm ready to get the conversation going.
Yeah. Let's get your credentials out of the way. You worked with guests. You have your own label, Ferretti. The kits, fantastic detail. You can see them in the background if you're watching on YouTube. You've done a lot of stuff with Dom at the shoe surgeon. Talk about your journey through fashion, where you started, how you got your inspiration, and where you've gotten to the point now, and where you see yourself in the future.
Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. The tournament is here. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contest out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or mobile devices and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to Bet Online today to get in on all the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here.
For sure. I mean, well, I'm from Ecuador, South America, from Guayaquil, Ecuador. I came here when I was 18, and always my dream was to, get a journey with fashion, right? Starting the fashion industry, since I was little, since I could remember, but I always had a passion always also as well for football. So I wanted to mix both of those things. So first, I got myself through school and went to the Art Institute, and then after I graduated, a friend of ours passed a resume to Guess, and then I was able to get the job. But I guess starting from the bottom as an assistant designer all the way up to director. So that was about 10, 11 years of my life, which was a great experience. But, I also wanted more, right? I wanted to see what was also outside of corporate. What else can be done outside of corporate? So I, you know, with I decided to venture myself, you know, meeting Tony and, you know, having that conversations with him about fashion and football. You know, we released some Ferretti jerseys as well as some off-white reworked jerseys that have worked very well. And, you know, now, like, you know, we have, you know, I'm working with Yuri Moreira on, you know, Culture by Football, which is an agency that we're working with pro teams and with Culture by, with Moali FC, working forward in you know, reaching different clubs and working on, you know, repurposing their old, you know, their old apparel that they're not using anymore. So, you know, trying to work on new ideas with big teams and, you know, push the envelope forward, I guess.
Yeah. He's being humble. He's a whole legend out here. He's a whole legend out here, especially coming from South America and now, like, going to the part where you're at. Seeing you in every, like I said, we've seen you in different events. How do you see this soccer space moving?
I mean, I love the, like, the next 2 years at least are going to be extremely interesting for all of us, right? Yeah. Like, I think this is, this is the moment. It's our moment for anyone that wants to express football and fashion in this in the same space. This is our moment here in the United States, right? Like, we have Copa America, we have World Cup, we have the clubs international game coming every summer. Like, keeps getting bigger and bigger. Obviously, with the Women's League now, is it's, you know, games are sold out. So, it, you know, all the signs are there. So we just need to, like, you know, continue to apply it and push the envelope with, you know, like, whether it's vintage that we're trying to repurpose, whether it's bringing out new ideas, right? And all of those, you know, all of those ideas, all of those things that we think about, is this is the time for us to put it forward.
Yeah, and the soccer jersey, I feel like, is a really interesting, like, canvas for you know, people to work on, and I think over the years we've seen crazy designs be applied to soccer jerseys that have you know, maybe taken inspiration from other fashion pieces. But now you see a lot of high fashion houses. I feel like everyone has their own, you know, kit, whether it's Balenciaga, Louis Vuitton, you know, you see every one of these labels on their runways at different fashion weeks debuting their own soccer jerseys. Some work, some don't, you know, but it's not about whether it works, it's the fact that it's still there. And so what do you think, you know, what is it about the football jersey that makes it so appealing to fashion designers?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, there's something about, like, the hero, right? Whether the hero is Zidane or Ronaldo or Ronaldinho, right? There's something about, like, storytelling within that, right? So then we see fashion designers like Kid Super, you know, telling a story about, like, oh, Ronaldinho was my hero, and we all knew him when, you know, he didn't meet Ronaldinho, right? And then officially he met him, and now he has a collaboration with him, right? So the storytelling with that, now Zidane very involved with Y3, right? Yes. Like, especially dropping, like, you know, going to the shows, dropping the new, like, Predators that are coming out. You know, you see all this on top of that with the Bloc Core, right?
Yeah.
The Bloc Core,
like, that's been
which
huge.
Is all about the kids, you know, whereas New York or LA, you see a lot of the kids wearing the vintage soccer jerseys, you know, girls with their big pants, or whether it's the skirt, right? Like, guys, you know, with their, like, big, you know, like, big, I don't know, Janko kind of, like, baggy pants and Tim's and things different, or George, right? Like, they it's a trend that, like, it was really strong last year, and it's, you know, it's becoming stronger, I think, for this summer, right? So I think for Tony's, like, a great spot for him to be here, you know, and, you know, because Tony's really good at curating, you know, kits and stuff, right? So, you know, he's gonna kill it this week.
Yeah, have you seen your sales increase with the Bloc Core kind of becoming much more popular?
Yeah, definitely. I think the jersey is a great way for people to express themselves. I mean, you can say so much with just a jersey, right? Like, you don't even need to say anything. But if someone walks in with, like, a 1997 Roma jersey, like, okay, this guy,
he knows.
He loves the team. He loves the icons. It's easy to express yourself with a single jersey, and I think that's what's great about you know,
these, or you just saw Kim Kardashian wearing it.
Possibly. Yeah, if Kim Kardashian is wearing them, like, it tells you something about, you know, fashion and football jerseys and being implemented together. It's pretty cool.
Because, yeah, the soccer jersey was, back in the days, it was basically reserved for the kids of immigrants, people from other countries, like, that were not born here, because it was not the cool thing to wear.
It was the immigrant uniform,
in a sense, just for the simple reason that if you wore a Real Madrid jersey, nobody was really looking into Real Madrid. Now everybody knows who Jude is. Now everybody knows who Vinicius is. Like, it shows how much the sport has grown. And like you said, Ferretti, these next 2 years is going to be really important, not to only to our pod, but to everybody in that space. No, what I'm saying, like, any soccer pod or like, it's going to be important for all of us. And it's crazy that we're jumping on that early.
And I think we're talking a lot about like the intersectionality between like football culture and just everything, right? Music, art, specifically fashion today. For any of our audience who enjoys our podcast, loves soccer, loves football, and also has like a creative outlook for fashion, what would you say would be like, if they're looking to create that in the next couple of years, knowing that it's going to be an increase because we have so much football coming to the U.S., like what would be your like top three like tips or like insight behind like your creativity to designing?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, first, obviously, like you got to look within yourself. What's your story, right? Like, because fashion is about storytelling, right? It's about telling, you know, what's had happened in your life that you can actually share it and that can bring value to others, right? So I think if you're able to figure out like what's your essence, right, who you are, like whether you're from, you know, El Salvador or Mexico or whatever the situation is, but if you're able to communicate your art through that, that will be probably the first place where I start, mm-hmm. right? Then secondly, I will try to learn the history, you know, of what you're doing, right, to pay the respects to others that have come before you, mm-hmm. and, you know, look into, you know, the legends also, you know, materials as well. It's very extremely important, right? Because you don't, you know, for people like us that we've been in this space for a while, right, we continue to see emerging designers come up, but, you know, they fade away really quickly, or, you know, it just becomes really repetitive. So, you know, finding your own voice, you know, getting to know the materials that actually go on, whether it's polyester, whether you want the moisture wicking, whether you want, you know, different details that, you know, gonna separate you from somebody else, I think is important. And third, you know, connecting with the community that is happening at the moment, right? Like our community, I feel like it's growing, right? Whether it's, you know, in LAFC, LA Galaxy, just mm-hmm. like, you know, different podcasts, different people that are really interested in not only the game, but expressing themselves creatively, right? So, you know, connect yourself with that kind of community. And you know, if there's events, Tony has some great events coming up. So, you know, connect with them, connect with different people in the area, you know, or in your area, and then, you know, start keeping the conversation and find your own angle.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I feel like knowing that we have so much soccer, football coming to the U.S., there's going to be a lot of people that are going to try to like take advantage of that, benefit off of that. Yeah. But I feel like the biggest thing that you said that has to really resonate is the storytelling. Like if you have no connection to the passion or the just the experience of having soccer in your life, like that's going to be really hard to try to like benefit off of. And I think you two, both of you, you know, have that and are already showcasing that. So great examples of what will come in the years to come, but also great like foundation for anyone who's looking to go into it.
Yeah thank you. Yeah, and like, you know, Julio was saying, like it used to be just for the tios or the you know, to wear like their soccer jersey tucked in with the jeans and mm-hmm. you know,
and
like
their boots.
Yeah. So but now, you know, with Blowcore it's a whole new experience, right? And you know, like you were mentioning, fashion houses, Louis Vuitton, Balenciaga, Martin Rose, mm-hmm. We can keep going on and on, right? But everybody's going to have their own version of a fashion jersey, mm-hmm. right? But, you know, find your own voice, your own detail. It could just be one detail, mm-hmm. right, that separates you from anyone else.
Before we dive deep into fashion, when did you guys, when did you guys fall in love with the game? What was the earliest memory of playing soccer growing up, highest level you guys played? When was that love for soccer putting you guys?
I can start. Yeah, I mean, I grew up playing here in the States, Orange County. I think relatively later, I think I started playing around 11. And yeah, man, I fell in love with it almost immediately. It came natural to me. I played the first season of like recreational soccer and then like made the all-star team and then was recruited by club when club meant a little more.
What club did you play for?
I played for, the first club I played for was Anaheim Express. I think they're still around. Uh-huh. And then bounced around Fullerton Rangers. I think they're still around. So yeah, I went into club almost immediately. And it was a little bit late because it runs in the family. I just wasn't introduced to it. Like my parents were kind of just like letting me do my own thing. I tried baseball first and that like went nowhere. But yeah, as soon as I started playing soccer, it just took off. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, my earliest memory was in Ecuador, right? Like there's a team called Barcelona, same as Barcelona from Spain.
Chiqui Palacios came from that, played for LAFC.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. And so my earliest memories was going to the stadium, you know, and it was rowdy in the 90s, right? Like, you know, you will sit down and then people just like throw all kinds of things, you know, like it was just, you know, the football that you live in South America, it's very passionate, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So then, you know, you see like all this, you know, fights and things, and if you're wearing the wrong color, like they'll beat you up. It's just, so I grew up with that extremely passionate football, right? So that was my first memory. And then, you know, you had to play, right? And well, you didn't have to, but you know, it was one of my goals to play, right? And since my earliest memory, I was with a soccer ball. So coming to the U.S., it was, you know, it was a little tough not seeing the same culture, but it's exciting seeing now things like LAFC, where you can get a little bit of that South American flavor, mm-hmm. you know, in Los Angeles. Yeah. So yeah.
When you were playing soccer growing up, or like even a part of like the stadiums or the atmosphere, did you also instinctively know that designing and fashion was something you were passionate about?
Yeah, of course. I mean, like the jerseys for me was when they were dropping jerseys, and before it was every 2 years.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Now it's like that they do like 10 different jerseys
in 1 year.
Yeah. So, I was always, you know, about, you know, learning about how the jersey was, like, where did they want to take the design to, mm-hmm. right? And what was the goal of the design? So it was always really interesting to me, like, you know, how they made the jerseys, right? And before it was, you know, it was not as monetized as it is now, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Before they even, like, South America, at least like in Ecuador, we didn't even have sponsors, you know, so they would just make the jerseys. Mm-hmm. You know, Coca-Cola, I think, was the sponsor, right? Like, not even like any of the big brands. Yeah. So it was, you know, it was really interesting to, you know, I always had that passion for that mm-hmm. since yeah. an early age, yeah.
What's your take on, because I think there's a big push. Now you see so much jersey releases. It feels like there's nonstop, yeah. especially with the calendar, how it goes with, yeah. like now you're seeing a lot of the North American teams release their jerseys. And then in the summer, you'll see all the European teams release the jerseys. It's like, it's hard to catch up. And then if one team has a specific, like, really memorable jersey, it almost gets forgotten with just, like, the churn of everything. Whereas before, it felt like, you know, Arsenal wore a jersey for two or three seasons. And, you know, you remember that jersey mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. not only does it give more, you know, has the team wear it for longer, but maybe they have a really good season 1 year and you remember, oh, this is the year they won the FA Cup or whatever, you know? Now it's like every team gets a new jersey every single year. There's 4, 5, 6 different jerseys per team, which I get it from a financial perspective. You know, teams are trying to, like, fans are going to buy jerseys no matter what. If you release a new jersey, they're going to buy it. But
from a design, releasing the Adidas jersey, now going to Nike.
Like, right, yeah. And so now, crazy. But from a design perspective, it makes it harder for the design teams to come up with something creative if they have to do one every single year. So what's your take on maybe rolling it back to where it was every other year, where you might not get a new jersey every year, but maybe you'll get more quality over the quantity?
I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I think, you know, the standardization of the jerseys have become a little bit boring in a sense, right? Like you look at the US jersey. I mean, with Tony, you know, we can get into that. Yeah, like with Tony, yeah. Like last year, we reworked some USA jerseys because just the fact that it's just a plain blank, you know, white shirt, right? I mean, even the crest looks different, right, from what it used to be, mm-hmm. the US soccer crest. So it's something is happening even within the space that just like the same template used everywhere. Right, we see it on England or Brazil, right? Like the Brazilians are extreme, for what I've read in the comments, they're extremely upset about the new jersey. They don't like the color. They think that like it's one of the worst jerseys I've seen. So I think the lack of creativity comes because they just have to turn to work.
Right.
Right.
You know, they just have to turn work. So, you know, they have the Copa America coming up, right? So they have to turn work for that. Mm-hmm. Then they have the eliminatorias, you know, the qualifiers. They have to turn work for that. They have, and now like the World Cup, and then all of a sudden you have to do like an original shirt or something similar. So it's a lot of work for them. So then it loses a lot of creativity, and then it becomes just shirts for, you know, for the masses. And they try and appeal to different people, but they're losing a lot of them at the same time.
Yeah, and then they'll come up with some, you know, half-baked storytelling element where they have to explain, like, this represents this and this represents... And when from fans, like, you can tell when they're just kind of winging it and they're just kind of doing it just to do it, rather whether or compared to like, oh, this actually has meaning behind it. You can tell they resonated. They talked to people, you know, fans or whoever, like this is made with this specific vision in mind. You can definitely tell, like, I think with Nike in Nigeria, they have a connection there that's working, like where every single one that they come out with, whether you like it or not, it's different. It's original. Yeah. There's a meaning behind it.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to the U.S., the last few U.S. jerseys, like, just haven't really been...
struggling.
You know?
Even for the guys, on the guy side, because we talked about on the last Women's World Cup, their jerseys, like, when they had their...
It was better, but the bar was so low that, you know, anything...
It felt way better than... Because, it feels like one template comes out, and then everybody from whatever brand they're using... is that template for the rest of the tournament or whatever season they're playing.
But that like is in our hands, right? As fans, like if you buy into this 6 jersey releases a year, like you're feeding into that beast. Yeah. If you guys, you know, if we as fans cut back on our consumption, like those brands are going to recognize it and then scale back because if you're releasing 6 jerseys and they're all being bought up, they're going to keep churning them out. But if we scale back, I think they're going to think twice about releasing so many jerseys and, maybe taking more time to really come up with something special.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like fans are so diehard when they see the new jersey, whether they like it or not. It's just like, I got to get the new one. You know, I spoke to someone at the Galaxy game. I spoke to a Galaxy fan in line. I forget where I was, but it was right before the MLS season started and the new Galaxy kit came out. And I was talking to him, you know, he's wearing the Galaxy jersey. So I was like, hey man, what do you think about the new jersey? He goes, it's all right. But you know, I'm gonna get it. I get it every year. And so it's like, it's hard to tell a fan how to be a fan and, you know, don't be passionate and don't, but like at the same time, it's like, man, like if you don't like the jersey, why are you buying it? So I don't know. It's a push and pull.
I that's where I'm coming from. I know people, like you said, like will buy it no matter what. But then you get the kind of products that we're getting. You know, the U.S. jersey is missed. It's missed a couple of seasons now. I think we all want to see the Waldo kit come back.
Bomb hop or something. Like something, man. Something with color.
Hopefully, I mean, with the World Cup coming up, I think they've got to
do something.
I hope they do something.
Yeah, everything since that Waldo kit has not been good.
Yeah, I mean, I actually liked the one. It was like right at the 2020. It came out. It was still plain, but it was a white shirt. But they had the Nike sportswear logo on it with the Nike text with the swoosh under it, and I thought that added a little bit to it.
The branding.
Yeah, but it's like that if I'm like looking for like little things to like, you know, it's like I'm grasping at straws. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, who knows? Maybe we need to switch it up. Maybe, you know,
bring
we
the
need
total
to switch
back.
Switch back to Adidas. Like, you know, Julio, you mentioned, you know, Germany going to Nike. Like, yeah, everything's backwards now. So maybe we'll switch. Like, I don't know if that's going to happen, but
I'm interested. I'm interested to see what Nike does with Germany. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Would you guys accept like a U.S. Adidas jersey?
I don't care, man. Like, like, as long as they do well.
Nike has missed for the last few years, so I'm okay with it. But then again, like, just look at the MLS jerseys. This year is gotten better, but Adidas has missed with a lot of jerseys as well.
Adidas, I think, has done a better job than Nike, though, with recent jersey designs. Yeah. And Nike doesn't have the connection to U.S. soccer that Germany and Adidas did. Like, I feel like Germany and Adidas, like, that's like institution.
Yeah,
like, that's
it
like
makes sense.
Always been a thing.
Honestly, a sleeper is Umbro. Like, their jerseys from like in South America with Brazilian teams, El Salvador. Yeah. Like, it has a lot. I don't think they missed. Even they had a third division team that they did a jersey release for them, and that jersey sold out in like hours.
Yeah, Umbro.
So Umbro's been killing it with the jerseys.
But I think we're going back to what Tony's talking about. Like, I think that there's a lot of power within the community, and we know that for so many reasons. But I think that's why Adidas within MLS is doing so well, because I think that these last couple years they've taken in the feedback they've heard, and they've tried to revamp and implement different ideas. Like, we've seen, like, for example, like the Colorado Rapids last year, where they brought in an artist from Colorado to help design the jersey. Like, I think little things like that, the storytelling, the connection to the community, the connection to the team makes such a difference. And like, if you don't amplify that, you don't emphasize that, then it's not going to work. And it goes back to what you said as a designer, right? Like, what's the story behind it?
Yeah, for sure.
Because they missed a few years ago when it was like the same template for every team.
It was like 2018, 2018, 2019, 2020. Everything was very heavily templated. Yeah. And then I think because they're on like a 3-year plan, so they're already going 3 years in ahead. Yeah. And they heard the criticism because starting 2021 and 2022, it seemed less templated, you know. And then when they did do a template, like, they kind of switched things up a little bit. So I feel like Adidas has turned things around in the soccer space, which makes it crazy that, you know, like, they lost their biggest, like, you know, it's like 70 plus year partner in the German.
It's like a German driving a Honda or a Ford. Like, a Mercedes.
It's not going to be the
Ford.
Same.
Yeah, bro, that might be next. Like, Ford might be the official car of, like, the German national team.
But what about some stuff outside of soccer? Because you mentioned the JNCO jeans. That's made a huge comeback. I see it, like, kids wearing it.
Yeah.
And
honestly, like, with their middle school uniform. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. And so what are your thoughts on, like, certain trends making, like, a comeback now? Because, like, early 2000s fashion isn't necessarily looked back on with a lot of reverence. Like, the low-rise jeans. Right. Like, there's a lot of, like, pictures of, you know, celebrities from that era that are just like, yo, what were we doing?
Business casual.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So what is your thoughts on, you know, now that it's like a 20-year, 30-year cycle, everything, you know, starts to come back. What are your thoughts on, you know, early, like, aughts?
Well, I think Y2K, right? Yeah, like, Y2K, which is the trend. I mean, I find it that, like, you know, obviously we're a lot younger, but I think, you know, it was a way to kind of, like, visualize the future, what the future will look like, and back in the 2000s, right? And what, you know, what we wanted to express in that moment, right? And the you know, different things, movies that you can relate to that moment in time, right? But I think, you know, this generation, the new generation, is trying to find their own voice. And I think, you know, not everybody's, and they're trying to separate themselves, right? Like, they're like, oh, well, I know, like, somebody older would not wear these ginormous pants, right? Or I know, like, they wouldn't wear this crop top, or, you know, different things, right? So they're trying to, like, separate themselves for what, you know, from their moms or their, you know, their uncles.
Yeah.
But I think it's, you know, I think it's great, but, you know, this is the same generation that is bringing us the blow cord, right? Like, and nobody else. You know, before, we used to be, like, ashamed of walking out with a soccer jersey, right? You know, we had to, like, have our own drip, like, you know, instead of, you know, just be proud of where we came from. So I think it opens up a lot of different doors, and, you know, I don't mind that every generation expresses themselves in how they do it. I mean, I don't think it fits for everyone, right? But I mean, obviously, like, you know, I'm a little slimmer on the pants, right? Like, yeah. But when I'm feeling a little more casual, I wear a little baggier, yeah. You know? But I don't see a problem.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. I think this generation is not afraid to do whatever they want. And, like, they're very vocal about it.
Yeah.
And they don't let anyone question what they do. And if you do, then it's like, well, it's mine, not yours. Like, why do you care? Yeah. And it's a good thing because they get to express themselves. They get to just explore all types of alternatives or options. For you as a designer, do you try to work off of trends that are in the now? Is that something that helps you with your work?
Well, you always have to have that information with mm-hmm. you, right? Like, always part of my work to always be up to date with the trends and with everything that's happening in the market, right? Whether, you know, I do it like from high to low, from, you know, the fashion shows, right, to the, you know, what's going on out in, you know, in the stores. You know, now we have Instagram and TikTok, right, and see what the influencers or people on the street are wearing, right? It's important to open yourself to different, you know, just to different ideas, different markets, right? But what was your question?
Like if you work off of, like if you use the trends to like create and get creative and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And then I used, different, you know, places like WGSN, which is a trend forecaster, you know, website. I use different tools, right, that helps you know what's going to happen in 2 years from now or in a year from now, right? And, you know, but in the end, like, I think the strongest trend always comes from the youth, you know, mm-hmm. whether it was in the 90s, it was all about the grunge, right? All that came from the youth. Mm-hmm. And then it was adopted by Marc Jacobs and by different designers. And, you know, now grunge, we see it everywhere, right? So it's just, you know, it's just, it's just about always the youth trying to make a new state. Yeah.
And then there's like so much connectivity in fashion. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen The Devil Wears Prada, but there's one scene where Anne Hathaway is talking to Meryl Streep, and she said something about, like, you know, I just don't care about fashion. Fashion's not important, or something to that extent. Yeah, yeah. And Meryl Streep goes, you know, you're wearing that blue Jack cardigan or whatever it is. I'm butchering this. Apologies to Meryl Streep, but she goes, you know, that color was picked out for you. You know, this designer used it in this show, and then this designer used it here, and that designer used it there, and then, you know, it worked its way all the way down to the bargain bin that you bought that. So everything that, whether you like it or not, that color was picked out for you. So I feel like there's so much connectivity, like, that goes on behind the scenes that, you know, consumers might not know about, even someone that is interested in fashion. What, like, because you were a director of menswear at Guess, so did you see things like that were going on that people might not have any idea about, that when it comes to creating certain cuts or colors or using certain materials?
Yeah, I mean, what you're describing really is like this hill, right, that it starts with like early adopters, you know, fashion designers, and then it goes to the masses, and then it goes to the lay people that like catch it later, and then it goes out to, like, you know, even discounted stores. So I think that's what in the movie she was breaking down, right? So I think you know, it's just I don't know. It's important. I don't know, like, in the end, if I'm answering your question in that sense.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, you know, just knowing the trends, understanding it, and then, you know, just seeing in this space, like, you know, that art, like, in the end, what you walk with is the way you represent yourself, right? Like, it's how we perceive you, right? Like, because unfortunately, like, we don't know your personality yet. So if I see you soon, I'll be like, all right, like, this is what I know about you. That's my only information. So the way you present yourself is how people would know.
What's like an instant red flag?
So yeah. So how Ramsey's dressed? Yeah. What do you think about it right now?
Yeah. No. We're like,
we're not gonna get into Ramsey.
He's a pass. But what's like a red flag? You see someone like, oh, you know, that guy doesn't know what he's doing.
No, I mean, you know, like, people be talking a lot about, you know, skinny jeans for people, like, you know, don't wear skinny jeans, right? Like, which is fine, you know, and it works for some people, but I'm not gonna wear big leather pants. I'm gonna wear a little more fitted when it comes to my leather pants. But, you know, I think, you know, there's no need for putting someone else down for what you like, right? I mean, fashion is for everybody, and expressing yourself is for everyone, right?
Do you have like your ideal go-to do's or don'ts for fashion?
Yeah, I do actually.
Yeah.
Well, my do's are like always get 3-piece, right? Like, so always have your pants, your top, and something to go over it, mm-hmm. right? Because that completes more your look, right? And then, you know, that's how I started. Or always visualize, you know, where you want to start. You want to start at the top and then work yourself, you know, like with the outerwear, and then work yourself like the whole thing, right? Or you want to focus on your shoes and make your shoes the main focus point of what you're wearing, right? So that's all those things about styling as well with proportions. Mm-hmm. I think people sometimes don't take the time to understand it, and that would be my don't, mm-hmm. right? Because they don't take the time. They'll just be like, oh, this is fine. You know, they don't mind spending like, you know, $200,000 in a car, but they mind spending $100 on a tee, right? It's just because, you know, or spending money in other things, right? But, you know, also the way you should invest in the way you present yourself, mm-hmm. right? Because I think that tells a lot of your story as well, right? And, you know, my don'ts is the carelessness of, oh, it's just a tee. Oh, it's just a pant, right? Like, it really is, you're an art piece walking, right? Like, you want to express that, you know, whether if you're love football, like, you know, I could see Tony and be like, this is a fashion forward football guy, right? Because right. mm-hmm. I know he has the Predators on, and he's got the Beckham tee that he made, right? Like, that is pretty fire. So then, you know,
you can come get at the football boutique.
You can get at the football boutique. So that's a plug. So then, you know, you can understand, or you can say a lot without saying anything, mm-hmm. just in the way that you present yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Heard that, Julio?
No. Julio's like, nah. It's just a tea.
Julio was thinking about the next question he was going to ask the whole time.
Like, my hair's tight.
I hope I'm not boring you guys.
No.
Honestly, I had more questions, but I'm going to reserve because I was going to ask, like, what about the color contrast? What about the color combinations? Yeah. You know, like, spring is here. What do you recommend?
Bridget will go on. Bridget will go on.
Yeah, I mean, that's very important, actually. Like, you know, colors are extremely important.
Yes.
It's extremely important. I mean, you know, usually we tend to go, like, wearing black, right? But, like, the you know, the spring is coming, right? Like, festival season is coming. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure you want to pop in your pinks, your light blues, your teals, your dusty colors, right? So, you know, it's not only about just, like, wearing whatever I have in my room, right? But it's obviously, like, you know, getting in touch with the seasons and how things work, right? Because all of a sudden you don't want to be caught up in summer with something that doesn't make any sense, right? So it's important that, you know, like, seasons are very important. It's important that you learn the Pantone color of the year. It's important that you just go into the Pantone, you know, Pantone website and you know, start learning colors that actually even work with your skin, right?
I'm about to go to Google right now.
it's just important, like, you know, like, we know, like the wine colors and the rusty orange and, you know, the forest green, those are all like winter colors, mm-hmm. right? So it's important, you know, it's important to touch on that for winter colors. Even for soccer jerseys, like, I can tell a lot of what's coming by the soccer jerseys that are releasing, mm-hmm. right? Like, you see a lot of the new Germany jersey, right? Like, yeah. It's a pink fading into mm-hmm. a purple, yeah. mm-hmm. right? Like, you will see this summer a lot of ombre mm-hmm. effect happening in different, not only jerseys, but also regular t-shirts and hoodies and things like that. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yes. I'm so hooked. I'm like, what about like, trying to stay away from like matching because it's the same color, right? Like, for example, like, I mean, this is a different type of green than this, but like, yeah. in my head, I want to wear the same green at my shoes. So like, how do you work off of that?
But why is that? Why you want to
just because it's like, it makes sense because it's the same color, but I don't want to be that way. I want to like switch it up, you know, like, how do you get into that? How do you get more creative with that?
Yeah. I would be more interested to know, like, where did you learn that pattern?
older brother. My mom, toxic, probably, because my mom would put like a pink bucket hat, pink shirt, pink overalls, pink shoes, pink socks, like all pink.
I mean, I think it's you know, for me, it's always important to have a pop color, whatever you, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to in the story, right? Like, for instance, you know, Tony Hawk wearing all black pop shoes, right? So it brings your attention to like a pop shoe, or like, so whether it's that, whether it's, you know, I don't know, like it could be like a scarf, or it could be your top could be a color, right? And then the rest could be black. I mean, it's just about bringing little pops of life to your outfit, right? I mean, and I think, you know, if you get really into color, then you can get really experimental with different things, right? You have your tan with the green, but your shirt is like an acid wash, right? So then, you know it kind of goes together, right? So then, you know, you start learning about all those things, and then you can get really creative with it. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Tony, like, which jersey that you recommend pops out here
that you
three jerseys that you have here that pop?
He's like, that I can have.
Then no, that we can sell to the people. By people, I mean me.
Yeah.
I mean that off-white. That Kamavinga just wore.
Oh, yeah. The goalie jersey.
Yeah. That one is definitely up there. We have it up there. And then I would say
the Ferretti jerseys,
man. Those go hard.
Can't go wrong. So with hard. Ferretti jerseys.
You must say that.
What a
right behind us.
I was going
to
get
$20.
No, I mean, those, we upcycled some old vintage Puma jerseys, and I think they came out incredible. And then we had a more modern take on that far right one, that black one. No, definitely those move. They've done well.
They
collaborated
on
those.
Drop, right?
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, the first one sold out.
Yeah. So definitely the Ferretti jerseys. And then we got some vintage ones in there. I mean, I would say I have a yellow Inter one. That one is incredible.
We'll link these.
Yeah, we'll saw Manchester United one with the strings, like
The Cantona, Yeah,
that was so sick.
Yeah, we have some bangers. So pull up to the football boutique
in downtown LA. Hit the website. You know, if you're not local, you know, online, like, they have the whole inventory on there too. So, I think the, when you're sourcing these jerseys, like what. Besides the price, obviously, but what are you looking for when you're looking to pick up new pieces?
That's a good question. It's a few different things. The first is just uniqueness, right? Like something that no other store has. I mean, we've seen them pop up now. There's just a ton of just like vintage soccer shops online. Right. Yeah, so the first thing in my mind is, have I seen this anywhere else? And then if the answer is no, then I have to bring it in here, because, yeah, the more we get, like, it just, the market becomes saturated. Then you've seen that, you know, Beckham jersey over and over and over again. So, you know, maybe I'll go for the Paul Scholes one or something, you know. So definitely something that no one else has.
Do you ever, like, venture off to go, like, to different small boutiques, either in the U.S. or even outside, or any other place, to look for like shirts
or jerseys? Definitely. Between like the resellers, there's like a community. So we try to connect. I work with a few different people in the States and outside. I've picked up some really cool pieces from some shops in the Netherlands, some shops here up north in San Francisco. So yeah, I think there's always an opportunity to find pieces with other people in the community.
Yeah. We are running low on time, but before we wrap things up, we always close things out with some music artists that we're listening to, because, you know, this is a fashion episode, but we still gotta incorporate music somehow. what are some artists that you're listening to right now? Anything new that's popped up in your radar, or is it throwbacks only? Like, what's your guys' vibes lately?
You wanna go first?
I think the buzz is on that new Kendrick verse on that Future track. Like, I mean, he went hard at Drake. Yeah. I mean, that's what I've been playing in the shop. But yeah.
I mean, for me, I just go back to old school Latin music, honestly. Yeah. Like, you know, it's just, I've been listening a lot to Maná lately, and, you know, just going back into, you know, just that 90s era,
yeah.
You know, Soda Stereo and all of those type of music. But yeah, I mean, new music, nothing really. Like, you know, I haven't heard any good reggaeton songs lately, so
well,
like,
you can team up with Bridget. Bridget will put you on
show. Whole album that's on Instagram.
Yeah,
yeah,
I was waiting for that album to drop.
I know. I'm listening to Los Angeles Azules right now for like the last week. I'm just,
you can never go wrong with the old school song. Yeah, song, especially the Latino ones. Like when I was growing up, my mom would always play the Latino music cleaning, and my dad with his Vicente Fernandez, and I'd be so annoyed. But then now I'm like, I kind of like appreciate it. You know, like it comes back to your senses, and you realize like that is good music.
Yeah. Gilberto Santa Rosa, Los Angeles Azules.
Oh. Gilberto Santa Rosa.
I'm that it was I'm on there. So early. On.
Yeah, like 7 in the morning is not that necessary. Like, we don't gotta be blasting Vicente Fernandez. Yeah.
But that was their party, right?
Right.
That was their party.
Exactly.
Time.
Cause they had us.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Now I'm out here, so I guess I have more liberty than them. Yeah. Fair to say.
For sure.
No, but Christian, Tony, thank you guys so much. This has been a great conversation, and I think, you know, incorporating more fashion and really realizing the importance of, you know, like you said, the work that goes into it. It's not just a piece of clothing. Exactly. It's more than that. And you know, not dismissing it, and actually, you know, taking the time to you know,
think about it.
Think about what went into this piece and what, you know, that maybe put a little bit more effort into, you know, what you're wearing or things like that is something that's a lot of people don't take stock in, but it's, you know, something that is important. Thank you guys so much. Before we go, is there one thing you want to plug or anything that you're working on that you want to give a quick shout out to?
Well, you know, I'm always here with Tony, you know, we're always working in new collaborations. So, you know, my Instagram is Ferretti_designer. Ferretti, Ferretti underscore designer, and we're always collaborating with Tony on new heat and new, you know, partnerships. Right?
Yeah, drop the fit and info. What are you wearing right now?
I mean, this is just Western, man. This
you got it on, man.
This is all Louis Vuitton inspired Western.
Okay, right, okay.
Making it work.
Yeah, it's nothing out of the ordinary. But you know, like you can cop the jerseys.
Yeah, the jerseys. That's the important stuff.
You can do some work here.
Yeah,
so I can buy more of them.
Buy more jerseys. I can get more leather pants.
Hey, exactly. This look ain't cheap. Yeah.
Fund the Ferretti fit.
Yeah. I mean, just visit us at the Football Boutique. We're here in downtown LA, on Pico Boulevard in the Fashion District. The Football Boutique.LA for all of our events. So we've got watch parties, FIFA tournaments, all kinds of events.
Pick
coming. Up. So yeah, pick up. I mean, you guys see the space. I think there's a lot of potential for all kinds of things. So yeah, just drop in. We're here Tuesday through Sunday till about 6 p.m. every night. So yeah, come through.
Yeah, this is just a small taste of what the space is like.
Yeah.
There's more space in the back. There's an outside area. So this is the spot, man. And thank you so much for allowing
Appreciate
us to be here. It's awesome that we were able to record here. For the Urban Bridge Podcast, this has been another great episode. Stay tuned. We got more stuff coming. I'm Ramsey Abushala for Julio Monterosa, Bridget Flores, Christian Ferretti, Tony Magana. Keep it tapped in. This has been the Urban Bridge Podcast, The Beautiful Game of Life. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.